Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I love talking from the heart. You know, when the things that the Lord will give, He relates to us in our hearts. He you know, everything that He has to say, He relates to our heart. Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's where the Lord moves in us. That's where our will is formed, in the heart. And we have to protect our will. When I first got saved, I said, I finally have a mind to do what's right. And everything that would deter me, I saw it as an enemy. I said, I'm not going to let people deter me from what God is doing. And I'm not going to let Satan tempt me out of God's will. And I made those stern decisions, and I thought about it. I said, I want to, you know, I don't want people dragging me back to where I came from. And I didn't want to go back to the world and forget about God. So I put more thought into what I did and what I said and where I went and who I was around. And I ministered to my friends, and I lived the life. I sought to live the life. And it wasn't too good at it at first, but I endeavored. And people can't see what's in your heart till you reveal it, but they can see your consistency, acts of love, and they notice that you don't do the things that are evil anymore. And they can tell that you're trying not to. And sometimes they'll pick at you about it. Just, you know, it looks weird to them. It looks peculiar to them. And they're trying to see if you're really serious or not. So, yeah, of all these things going on. But as I endeavored and got to know the Lord, it made the difference. It was all worth it. I don't regret it for a moment. I thank God for saving me in the first place. And I truly appreciated having a mind to follow God. You know, I didn't want to go back to the world. And that was a time I didn't think I could do right. I didn't know if I wanted to do right. I ultimately wanted to do right, but I didn't know if I'd be good at it. And sometimes people they're fighting people away. You know, they say, well, I better not play with God. But the enemy has so many tricks. You're just going to have to take God at His word and go forward. But I believe the Lord knew my heart, and He put people in my path, and He saved me. And sometimes the way you see things is not true. I didn't know that the Lord was going to back me up. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit was going to guide me into all truth. I didn't know that the Word of God would encourage you and strengthen you. I didn't know those things. I didn't know I'd feel the peace of God. I didn't even expect it. When I asked the Lord to save me, I said, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to do what's right. And I was hoping that I could. And I was willing to turn my back on the world. But I had tried to do things right and found myself doing wrong before. You know, I tried to control my speech, my tongue, stop cussing and saying ugly things. And I find myself doing it anyway. So I didn't know if I was going to make it as a Christian and live up to God's expectations. Well, with sin, you can't. But when Jesus breaks your sin, when He destroys your sin with His mighty blood, His blood washes our sins away. And He gives us a brand new heart. Now, your mind and your body is the same, but you have a brand new heart to work with. I didn't know all that at first. But the moment I did that, I felt His peace for the first time. And I felt like better than I did when I was a child. And I said, I don't ever want to walk away from this. And a lot of people didn't even understand it. People don't always trust your dedication. But I had to, you know, I said, I'm going forward. I want to see what's next. And if I failed, I repented. And if I, when I was confused and didn't know what to do, I prayed. And no matter what happened, God helped me. I didn't know all this was in the works. I didn't know that the Lord would talk to you when I first got saved. And I remember when I first got saved, me and the guys at work, the ones that encouraged me to get, and a guy named Chris Lucas, me and him had a conversation. So we used to talk about the Lord every day, when we used to tell all kind of jokes every day. And we all changed. We grew together. But he said, I said, man, I wonder what it's like when God talked to you. And he said, I knew a lady that said God talked to her. I said, wow, I wish I could meet her. And one day this lady named Mom Power came to the grocery store. So I worked at Food Giant and Huffman at the grocery store. And Mom Power had a relationship with the Lord. You could see the Holy Spirit on her. You know what I mean? When Acts talk about being full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that lady was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. She looked like she just had great, great, great joy. And she told me some conversations that she had with the Lord. And every time she came to the store, and she lived in way out in Woodlawn, but she came to Huffman. I believe the Lord sent her that way. I don't know if she knew somebody in that area or not, but I thank God for her. Anyway, she would tell me about conversations that she had. And whenever she came to the store, I made it my business to help her. I would hurry up, sack groceries when I saw her, and I'd run and help her. And I'd help her to the car so she could tell me whatever. I wanted to hear whatever she had to say. And she was one of the first people that I knew that the Lord would dialogue with. And my daddy was a quiet man. He said, the Lord do talk to you. He tell me what to preach. I didn't even know that. But my dad was a quiet man. He talked in the pulpit more than he did in the house. If you asked him a question, he'd answer it. But I mean, he just didn't talk much. I didn't really get to know him or what he went through till I was grown. And my mom told me a lot of things that he had done and said and whatever. But he told me war stories and things like that after I was grown. But he was a very good man. But I didn't know that the Lord was giving him messages. I didn't know how it worked. And he was a good man of God, a good preacher. I looked up to him. But Mom Powell had a relationship. And she was full of the Holy Ghost. Now my parents, they didn't know about the receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. But every believer has the Holy Spirit on the inside. And even my mom, I had a question one day, and she spoke prophetically. And I followed her. I followed what she said. And if I did something wrong, she'd know it. I mean, you know, it's more than just the mother's instinct. She knew what I did. She knew about what I was trying to do. And she was good. And so, but Mom Power stood out because she was wise and full of the Holy Ghost. And she told me things that the Lord told her, conversations that they had. And I wanted that. I still remember her stories, and I thank God for it. So the last website broadcast, we talked about the seven spirits of God, the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He will manifest, he's one spirit, but he manifests to you seven ways. Spirit of the Lord rested upon Jesus. And we went through all of them. The spirit of wisdom and knowledge, counsel and might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And I mean, he's there. We're complete in him. When you have the Holy Spirit on the inside, you have the best treasure there is. There's no precious stone better than what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. And I had a clue when I was, when I first got saved. I said, this means I can start a thriving business. There's nothing I can't do with his wisdom. As he gives me wisdom in all things, I can do anything. And I went to the Holiness Church because I thought that they knew those things and they would help me learn those things like Mom Powell did. Well, when I got to the church, it wasn't like Mom Powell. It was totally different. But I remember Elder Lewis, he was a good man of God, and the Lord would tell him things. He would minister, he had a lot of knowledge, and good knowledge, and he was a good teacher. But Mom Power had the relationship that I was after. And it's been a long time since I found somebody with that kind of relationship. See, people are different. Some I say it all the time. The people that have that learn the most from God are people who truly love God. They love God in a deep manner. I don't even think she was called to the ministry. But her relationship, it took a long time to find somebody with her kind of relationship. And a very long time. See, I was looking for Mom Power, but I didn't find Mom Power. I'm not putting anybody down, but that's how outstanding she was. And that's what I was trying to learn. I was trying to find out about how, you know, I got saved in 83. And in 1991, that's when the Lord started dialoguing with me. And then there are others that he'll share things with. But people who love God, they're the ones who learn the most. And they learn fast. They learn quickly because they want it. You can't learn from God if you don't want what he's saying. And if you won't take time and study his word, there's a lot of things that you won't be able to receive. Even when the Lord tell you, you have to have a strong word base. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, when you receive what he's saying, you are honoring him. And the Lord watches us to see how we honor the Holy Spirit, how we treasure his words. If the Holy Spirit tell you something and you go and forget about it, the Lord notices that. And that can determine how he speaks to you the next time you need him to. He loves you and he'll warn you, but if you don't have the faith in you and the love in you to capture those words and hold on to them, how can God work with you the same? How can he take you to the next level? How can he advance your business? And that day in 1988. When the Lord gave me wisdom for my business, I said, "Lord, you knew I needed this all the time." I talked about it in another broadcast. I said, "You knew I needed to know this all the time. How come you didn't tell me? I could have made a lot of better choices and I'd be further along." He said, "When a man leans to his own ways, he cannot learn the ways of the Father." He said, "Can't." But I said, "Cannot," because I want that to get out there. There are some things you cannot learn unless you don't stop leaning to your own way and receive what the Father says. Otherwise, it will be a struggle to learn from him. And it'll take you so long, you'll struggle longer. You won't know what to do longer. And the enemy is out there trying to stop your works anyway. He's trying to stop you. And it's taking you a long time. What do you trust the most? Who do you love the most? All right, when you love God and you take him at his word, when he speaks the necessary things, you receive it and you do, then you can do the necessary things. You can make the necessary adjustments. But without him, you can't make the necessary adjustments. And sad to say, many people don't. And then their actions become what's considered normal. I said it took a long time to find somebody like Mom Powell. My mother loved God. She didn't she didn't have the same kind of relationship. She would pray all the time. She prayed for her family. She had peace. She walked in peace and joy. But that kind of relationship, Mom Power had that. It's just, people are different. Mom Power was outstanding because she appreciated what the Holy Spirit said. And honor is due where honor is due. I'm not lying. She that's how it was. And I wrote about some of the things she taught me in the book called The Cost of Freedom. That was one of the most outstanding things she said. She told me about a conversation she had with the Lord. And I remember she told me that, after getting to know me, that's when she opened up about that. People have all kind of treasures in them that the Lord have dealt with them. But they don't quickly share them. They get to know you first. She didn't tell me that on the first day. She saw that I was hungry after the Lord, and I talked to her, and the Holy Spirit prompted her to say that. And some people, they don't want you to think they're weird, so they may not tell you the things that God say. Because, for a very long time, especially back in the 80s, people didn't talk about what God said because they didn't want to be considered loony. But there's nothing more natural than man relating to God in dialogue, in prayer, and in conversation. That's what Satan is afraid of. He tried to make it seem spooky. He's spooky. He's crazy. He tried to hide God from me, and I'm mad at him for it. He's my enemy. I don't like him, and he don't like me. He wants to stop me, but he can't. He wanted to kill me, but he couldn't, and he can't. I don't like him. And I even said, you'll never, ever kill me. I'll never die by your hands or your puppets. And what you say on the earth is bound. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I loose my full life, and I'm going to serve God with all of it. And I bind him. I can't be taken away at his sorry, nasty will. I'm going forward in him. I'm going to show people, the people that want to know. The Lord put me in a position to minister to people that want to know him. And I'm going to speak all that God put in my heart. Now, these messages, I'm not doing this on a whim. The Lord gave me this assignment. Heart to heart is an assignment from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit. When I was on vacation, he gave me, last June, he gave me this assignment. And I actually did the first 6 or 7 broadcasts on vacation, I think. But anyway, God loves us. When you finally have a mind to follow God, and you're walking in his way, the enemy's trying to put traps out there to distract you away from learning about God. He's trying to keep you from the knowledge of God, and even from the people that could tell you. And when you're around people that know better in some areas, he'll try to hinder them from telling you what's necessary. And when they're willing to tell you, he'll try to bring up an interrupter, somebody to start another conversation, waste the time that you have with them, and keep you from the knowledge of God. I've experienced this more than I desire to. Sometimes people at a point, they'll listen to me, and then the enemy will send an interrupter. I say, Satan, stop it in Jesus' name. And that person will turn around and go somewhere else and start another conversation. And I can finish talking to the people about the Lord. Now, those who listen to this broadcast, that's because you're hungry. You want to know God. And you hear things that the Holy Spirit has to say to you. And that's why the Lord gave me this broadcast. And I love it. I thank God for it. Now, we're complete in him. And when Job's friend said something that really caught my attention. And now remember, they were accusing Job. You have to read the whole story. Job couldn't read chapter 1 and 2 when God bragged on him. And there was no man in the earth that feared God and hated evil like Job. And now I'm going to tell you who Job was. Job was Issachar's third son. That means that Jacob was his granddaddy. And Isaac was his great granddad, and Abraham was his great great granddad. Now, Jacob was still alive at this time, because he lived a very long time. So, this means that Job feared God and shunned evil more than Jacob did, because there was no man on the earth that feared God and shunned evil more than Job. All right, now, Satan wanted to kill him. We know that Job greatly feared evil, and it opened the door for the enemy to come through the hedge that was around. His fear did that. That's another topic, but we'll get to it later. Satan can't just interrupt a person's life. But I know that fear attaches Satan to your life somewhere. Whenever you fear evil, that fear will cause it to it'll cause you to make the wrong decision, so that whatever you fear comes to pass in your life. I've explained that in other broadcasts, but we'll get to it when the Holy Spirit brings it back. But for this broadcast, in chapter 15, Eliphaz the Temanite is talking. And he said something in verse 12. He said, "Why do thine heart carry thee away? And what do thy eyes wink at?" And I'm going to explain that verse. Now, he's following what Job said in chapter 14. And he's trying to get Job to repent from the evil that he gotten himself into. In Eliphaz's mind, he thought that Job was secretly sinning. Now, it didn't apply to Job, but the application is true. For principle's sake. Now, I'm going to read verse 1. "Then answered Eliphaz the Temanite and said, 'Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind?'" He didn't believe a word Job said to him. "Should he reason with unprofitable talk, or with speeches wherewith he can do no good? Yea, thou castest off fear and restrains prayer before God. For thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Yea, thine own lips testify against thee. Art thou the first man that was born, or wast thou made before the hills? Hast thou heard the secret of God, and doest thou restrain wisdom to thyself?" Are you the only person wise, Job? That's what he's saying. Verse 9. What knowest thou that we know not? And what understandest thou which is not in us? With us are both the gray-headed and very aged men, much elder than thy father." So Job's friends is probably as old as Jacob. "Are the constellations of God small with thee? Is there any secret thing with thee? Why doeth thine heart carry thee away? And what do thy eyes wink at?" Now, here is this scripture in verse 12 is showing you a snapshot of a diversion. Why does your heart carry you away? And what do thy eyes wink at? When people go into they came to God and they go back to the world, something happened in their heart. Their heart is carried away with something. And he said, and this is what starts it. And what does your eye wink at? All right, something captured your attention. You got distracted by something you lusted after or desired. It could be pride, it could be lust, it could be greed. And you saw something in the world and it caught your attention. Now he said, what does your eye wink at? If you stare at something for a while, your eye has to naturally blink because that's what it does. That's one way of saying, what are you locked into? What are you staring at? What has your attention in high regard? What has captured your attention? Because if you look at something long enough, you're going to blink your eyes. What does your eye wink at? If you saw it and turned your head, that means you try not to look at it. But it's caught your attention and you can't get your mind off. You're considering it for a very long time. Your eyes have time to blink. And the desire grows stronger and stronger till it becomes a problem. And when you decide to act on it, it changes what's in your heart. And this happens over a period of a long time. It doesn't happen. That's why when temptation comes, kill it. Kill it right then. People that find out they got cancer, if it's in the first stages, it's easy to kill. Their chances of survival is very high. But if it lasts too long, it gets rooted in their body. And then they start feeling bad, and it's harder to get healed that way. For most people, it depends on how much word is in your heart that you have to combat it with. You can believe God and come back at any stage. But it's easier not to get trapped in the first place. This is the description of Eliphaz as a man that has gotten himself trapped in the world again because something caught his attention and it became good to him. He wouldn't let it go. It got in his will. It altered his will. Now, to define the world system, I like understanding things in a simple way. From the root, you know, it's easier that way. Now, First John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," now watch this, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever." He that doeth the will of God abides forever. You have to protect the investment of your will to serve God. You've been made righteous. You have to nourish your will to love and serve God so that you can't be turned. Because when people love this world, they automatically becomes the enemy of God. The love of the world will turn your heart. It will turn your will. It will change you. Just like people that get on drugs, that drug changes them. It alters their mindset. It turns them into another person that you really don't know. A person you can't trust. They can't even trust themselves. That's what the love of the world would do. It causes you to become an enemy to the Lord. And then he has to deal with you as an enemy instead of his child. That's what happens with the church of Laodicea. We've talked about in previous broadcasts. The Lord took a turn from that because I believe he finished what he wanted to say with that. But we'll revisit it whenever he brings us back to it. God loves us. And if we know how not to get trapped, you know, maybe we won't, you know, when people love God, they don't get trapped. They don't get sidetracked into the world again. The enemy is always trying to get all of us back to the world. And Chris Lucas warned me at the right time. He said, now that you're on God's side, Satan's going to try to get you back. And he told me all the things that Satan would try to do. And they pertain to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. He said, women are going to flirt. Things are going to go wrong. People are going to try to make you mad. He said, well, just keep following God. And I did. And now in Colossians chapter 2, it talks about how we're complete in him. And now we read about how, about the seven spirits of God. See, with the seven spirits of God, the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the relationship you have with him, that's your greatest treasure. You can't get a better treasure than that. No car, no house, no money, no jewel, nothing can match what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. We're complete in him. In Colossians 2 and 10, it says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And it talks about how people are trying to distract you away with the traditions and rudiments of men. You don't need man's approval. Ever. What God give you to do, that's between you and him. You don't need people's approval. You don't have to. Just like it's saying in chapter 2. When you study that chapter, it says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, and after the tradition and of men and rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. People are trying to distract you from the best of God. But as we go forward in him, that's the greatest treasure. Everything else is a bonus. Your marriage is a bonus compared to what God can do in your Holy Spirit. Even your children, your house, your possessions.